Don't you love to help people remember what he did for us on the cross? And that's what we're going to do today. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, and in the Word of God, it teaches us to remember. And how do we do that? Well, we do that well, and we're transformed in the presence of God through remembering, by remembering Christ's person. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to look, if you would, in this powerful verse of Scripture, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. The Bible says that Jesus revealed to us his wonderful words, and he revealed those through the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, look, Jesus has taught me scriptures and revealed scriptures to me. I'm writing them down in this divinely inspired book called 1 Corinthians. And all that I'm receiving from the Word of God, I want to share with you. And what I'm sharing with you is really all about Jesus. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that when we receive God's Word and we study God's Word and we meditate on God's Word, we're just meditating on Jesus. We're just studying Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, search the scriptures. Why? Because they testify of me. They tell you about me. They explain me. And so we look in God's Word and we research God's Word, and it tells us all about Christ, all about him. And through God's Word, we are empowered for life's transformation, to have life and victory in all that we face. You see, when we search the Word of God, you know what God does? God gives us an opportunity to put on the belt of truth in Ephesians chapter 6. In a confusing world where everybody has an opinion, everybody has a philosophy, everybody has a certain direction, which way do you go? What philosophy do you believe? Whose opinion do you grasp? Well, you go to the Word of God and you believe God's opinion. And so when you are immersed in God's Word and you know what you believe and why you believe it, when somebody comes to you with false philosophies, bad opinions, false doctrine that will lead you over a spiritual cliff, you can stand firm. You can have security in an insecure world, in a world that's called an adhocracy. An adhocracy in America today means that nobody's sure of anything. In a world where everybody's confused and unsure, you can be sure because you're standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ in his Word. But secondly, the reason you're empowered today and you can be transformed by remembering the person of Jesus Christ is because you put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, do you know what that means? That means as you immerse yourself in God's Word, you know what the right thing to do is in every situation. You know what the right choices are. You can make good moral choices. You can make good spiritual choices. So when somebody comes to you with choices and ideas that contradict this book, you know that's a bad way. You know that's a wrong way. And so when you have to make choices in a crisis, choices for your family, choices in the workplace, choices with friends at school, guess what? God's Word gives you a clear path to follow the right direction, because every day you're being empowered with the very words of Jesus and the person of Jesus through the scriptures that testify of him. But lastly, when we're in God's Word, the Bible says that we lift up the shield of faith. Now, I got to tell you, there's a very real battle going on in this sanctuary today, and it's probably going on right there as you sit and listen to me, and it's called the battle for the mind. And it's raging in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls and teenagers all across this land. And you see, you every day have to deal with all kinds of negative thinking. And you have to deal with all kinds of worry and anxiety and stress in your thoughts. But the good news is that when you're filled with the Word of God, when you're focused on the person of Christ as he is revealed through the Scripture, you can raise up the shield of faith. And the Bible says that you can quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The good news today is that we remember the person of Christ, and when we do, we search the Scriptures. And when we search the Scriptures, we are empowered to live that life of victory and that life that Jesus calls the abundant life. But secondly, when we remember the person of Christ, I want you to know we encourage one another. Look with me again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, and it says, "But I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus..." Now, you know what I love about Paul? Paul is always putting Jesus in every situation. Don't you just love that about the Apostle Paul? Hey, I got to tell you something. Do you want encouragement today? Do you want encouragement today at a low moment? Do you want encouragement today when you've heard a discouraging word? Do you want encouragement today when you're in difficult circumstances? Take Jesus and put him right in the middle of those low moments, those difficult circumstances, and you will be encouraged. You say, "Well, Pastor Greg, where does that come from?" It comes right out of the Bible. Don't you remember when the disciples were in a storm? And I mean, the storm was raging, and maybe you're in a storm this morning. A storm of finances, a storm of health. Maybe the storm is raging in your life. Well, Jesus had his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, and they were in a storm. And in the midst of that storm, when it seemed that all was hopeless and all was dark and there was no way out, Jesus was right there, walking on the water. He inserted himself in the situation. And these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Be of good cheer. I'm here." And I want you to know something. When you welcome Jesus into your difficult situation and your challenging circumstances, you can be of good cheer because Jesus is there. And he has the power to still the waves and calm the storm. And that's what he wants to do for you today, or at least give you peace in the midst of your storm. So we know that when we remember the person of Christ, he empowers us. He encourages us. But last of all, he inspires us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread." That's a pretty powerful statement. I mean, can you imagine the hurt and the pain that Jesus went through when every single one of his disciples fled when he came to be arrested? Every one of them. He had bled for them. He had suffered for them. He had poured his life into them. He had taught them everything he possibly could in a 3.5-year span, and they ran at the end of the day. How painful was that? And then one of his disciples, to add insult to injury, they sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. They identified the very spot that he could be arrested at. I mean, can you imagine that? And yet the Bible says, in spite of the pain and the hurt, what did Jesus do? The Bible says that he still went to the cross. That's what the bread represents. He still stayed on mission. He still went to Calvary so that you could be forgiven and you could have eternal life and you could spend eternity in heaven. And what you have to do is you have to be inspired by that. Inspired that Jesus stayed with his mission in spite of the hurt and the pain and the suffering that he was going through. And it inspires us to do the same. I mean, you may be in a situation right now and you just want to back up. You want to put your Christianity on hold. You want to idle for a while until everything kind of sorts out. And maybe in 5 or 10 or 15 years when things get a little bit better, maybe you can get back on track with God and you can follow him. But you see, it's in those low moments that we are inspired by the life of Jesus and how he pushed to the goal. And just like that song that the choir led us in and Brother Joe led us in, that above all, in spite of the pain, in spite of the suffering, above all, he did it for you. He bled for you. He gave his all for you. Years ago, there was a man named Lafayette. Lafayette was a crack French soldier, an officer. And he came to the United States at the invitation of George Washington to train our troops, to turn them into a military unit that would be feared by the British. Lafayette and the French did a great work for us so that we won our revolution, and we never forget. So in the coming years, at mother's laps and in schoolrooms, the story was told of Lafayette, the Frenchman, and the French themselves that came to our aid in a very difficult hour in American history. Then World War I came, and the French now were in a crisis. The French now had their backs against the wall. The French now needed help, and the United States in 1917 entered World War I on the side of the French. As American forces poured in to French soil, and as they gathered in a great town square in Paris, General Pershing, the American general, stood up in front of thousands of cheering French citizens, and he said these historic words, Lafayette, we are here. We never forget, and we repay that debt of gratitude we owe. Can I tell you that we have a much better debt to remember? Because you see, we were lost in our sin. We were desperate in a condition of deserving eternal destruction, and yet Jesus Christ came to our aid, he came to our rescue, and he died on Calvary for our sins. And as we look and we remember that Jesus gave his all for us so that we could have all that we possess today, we have all spiritual riches in heavenly places. We're raised with Christ in heavenly places with all power and kingdom authority. God has blessed us that eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for those that love him. And as we remember the great debt of gratitude that we owe Jesus because of what he did for us on the cross, when he asks us to perform a duty for him, when he asks us to serve him, when he asks us to follow him, we can't help but say, Jesus, we are here. That's God's call for us today. But secondly, we not only remember God's person when we remember the Lord's Supper, Jesus's person, but also we remember the Lord's passion. You see, the word passion many times is used for actually the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we remember the fact that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. And the first thing we remember is the fact that his body was broken for us. Look with me, if you would, in verse 24. And the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can I tell you that the cross is the central theme in Christianity? That the cross is the central theme in our Christian faith? In fact, the cross is at the very heart of the Bible. There's a scarlet thread that runs through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it's all about Christ and his death on the cross for our sins. If you look in the book of Luke and Matthew, 1/4 of those gospels are all about the cross. If you go to the book of John, half of the book of John is about the cross. If you go to the book of Mark, 1/3 of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is about the cross. And so you see, it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we praise God, we thank God that it was at the cross his body was broken for us. And as we remember that, we experience the blessings of God, not just in salvation, but our daily dominion over sin. A couple of years ago, there was a fireman and he was called to a fire. And they pushed the ladder up against a window. And as he went up and tried to save a woman who was absolutely hysterical, she would back into the flames and the fireman would reach into the window and she would back further in the flames. And finally, there was nothing else that could be done, and he came down the ladder. And when he got down the ladder, he turned to his fellow fireman, and with tears in his eyes, he said, I tried to save her, but she wouldn't let me. And you know, Jesus Christ today has a message for each and every one of you, and that is he went to the cross to save you from the judgment of hell itself. And the question today is, will you let him? Will you let him come into your heart and forgive your sins? That's why he died. His body was broken for you. But secondly, I want you to see, not only do we see his body, but also we see his blood. We remember his blood. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and begin reading in verse 25, and it says, and in the same way, he took the cup also. And after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do you know the greatest love story in the Bible is the cross? Because it was at the cross that Jesus shed his precious blood for you, so that you can live guilt-free, so that your conscience could be clean, so that you could have eternal life. In fact, unless you go to the cross, you can never be forgiven. You can never experience eternal life. And as Jesus hung on that cross, his message to you is his blood was streaming down his body, and his shed blood was being poured out so that your sins could be washed away. The message to you was that I love you, and I love all of you, and I love you. That's the message of the cross. And there was no other way but the blood of Jesus for you to go to heaven and be forgiven. No other way. In fact, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup of suffering be passed from me. But there was no other way. Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You have to go by way of the cross if your sins are going to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. So we remember the Lord's person. We remember the Lord's passion. But last of all, I want you to see that we remember the Lord's promise. Look with me in verse 26. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. Jesus promised he would come again. He said, every time we remember the Lord's Supper, we need to be ever mindful that one day Jesus is coming again. You say, Pastor Greg, why do we preach on the second coming? Do you know one out of every seven verses in the Bible is about the second coming of Jesus Christ? One out of every seven of our sermons should be about Christ coming again. And you see, Jesus promised he would come quickly. And the question for you today is, if Jesus is coming as a thief in the night, if Jesus is coming in an hour when you think not, are you ready? Are you prepared? That's why the Bible urges you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. So if you're ever going to write that letter, you need to do it today. If you're ever going to live for Christ, you need to do it today. If the Spirit of God is stirring you to work in Awanas, today is your day. If God is stirring you to be a part of a ministry in this church, today is your day. Jesus is coming quickly. And you see, some of you are struggling with salvation today. You're struggling with eternal life. You know that when we sing and we invite you to come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. And the Bible says, today is your day. Jesus is coming quickly. Others of you know that God is stirring you to join this church. And you've always said, well, tomorrow or next week or next year. But Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. Today is your day. You may be the missing piece of the puzzle in this church that brings revival. God doesn't want you to delay another minute if the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart. You see, he comes quickly, but also he comes with questions. The Bible says that Jesus, observing the second coming, said, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns to the earth? And that's the question that you have to answer today. Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins? And have you made your commitment to him by surrendering your will and trusting Jesus and Jesus alone for eternal life? It's not good works. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it's nothing you do yourself, but it is total faith in a living Christ. There was a czar in Russia. His name was Nicholas II. And he had a son that needed discipline, so he enlisted him in the army. But his son had a gambling habit, and the army didn't help it much. To make matters worse, he was in charge of the books. So he stole from the army fund, and he gambled, and he kept losing money, and he kept stealing money. Finally, one day, he realized he'd borrowed so much money he could never pay it back, and he would dishonor his father and disgrace his name. So he wrote a suicide note on the ledger where he kept his books. And the suicide note said this, so great a debt, who can pay? He took his pistol, and as he was holding the pistol in his hand, he leaned back to contemplate what was about to happen, and he fell asleep. Ironically, at that very moment, Nicholas II, the Tsar of Russia, walked into his tent. He was inspecting the army that day. And he leaned over his shoulder, and he saw the suicide note. And he left. A couple hours later, the son woke up, and when he looked down at the ledger where he had written, so great a debt, who can pay? Written on top of that was, paid in full, signed, Tsar Nicholas II. And can I tell you that some of you are here today and you'd say, Pastor Greg, you don't understand, I've done too much. I've sinned terribly against the Lord. I've gone too far astray. God can't forgive me. My sins can't be cleansed. There's nothing anybody can do for me. But can I tell you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, maybe you thought your debt was too great to be paid. But when Jesus went to the cross, He wrote paid in full on your sin. And if you will receive Him in your heart today as your Lord and Savior, He will wash away all your sin and give you eternal life. Would you come to Jesus today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed across this sanctuary, you'd say, Pastor Greg, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to know that I have eternal life. I want my sins to be paid in full. In just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to step out and come and talk to me. And I can share with you the way to heaven. Would you come? You're here today and you'd say, Pastor Greg, I believe God is leading us to join this church. And we put it off and we put it off, but God's stirring us. He's speaking to us. Today is your day. Or maybe you're like these precious ladies who stirred the waters of baptism and gave their testimony. And God is stirring you that you've accepted Him as Savior, and now you need to make your decision public. And you too need to follow Him in baptism as a public profession of your faith. I don't know how God is speaking to you today, but would you listen to the Lord? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that every woman, every man, every child, every teenager would have the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to stand up and step out and come to Christ today, Lord. Father, I pray You'd remove every hindrance. Father, You would remove every doubt. God, You would take away every excuse and obstacle. And Lord, You would have Your way in this sanctuary today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.